guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. All right.
David, what's your shirt?
Dave Grohl.
Dope. Kind of looks like you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so this episode, we have for the first time a returning guest, a Mr. Cody Davis. Cody, welcome.
Yeah. Holy shit, Cody, I didn't even see you there.
Cody, you were here not too long ago, St. Patty's Day, right?
Yeah.
And that was a
that was fun.
Damn good time.
Yeah, it was.
Holy and it shit. Was Irish car bombs, and I don't remember the night. So
nope.
That's how that one went.
Who does? You know what? I got Beto's after that. We talked about getting Beto's. I went and got fucking Beto's.
Can we do that this time?
Yes, we can go get fucking
Beto's. Yeah, I'm pretty
down. Absolutely. Yeah. So this one, guys, we are doing something a little interesting. Because of the times the COVID-19's out, quarantine, it's kind of been boring staying inside. We are trying to choose beers that you can easily get at a grocery store. So I went to Harmon's. You can build your own six-pack at Harmon's. And we got all the best IPAs locally. We specifically went for locally. We have Squatters, Wasatch, Shades, Proper, Park City, and Uinta. We're going to drink some of these, not all of them. We'll go through them. And the ones we do drink, we're going to break them down. But Cody, not a huge fan of IPAs, right?
No, and I did not know this was going to be an IPA one.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Surprise.
So it's going to kind of challenge us in a way. I was really hell-bent on doing nitros. I was thinking about getting nitro stouts for you. But I think IPAs, if we can somehow get an IPA that you like, I think we win. And Wyatt and I talked about doing juicy and hazy. We got a plethora here. At some one point, we're going to stop and take questions from our awesome viewers. Besides that, let's break our first one open. Yeah. Wyatt, choose.
I'm thinking the Park City, and then we'll follow with the Shades, because I'm pretty sure Shades, at least they used to brew Park City's beer, right?
Yes, that's true.
But they don't anymore. Let's start with the Park City.
All right, Park City. So this one is the Park City Sessions IPA. This one on Beer Advocate. Yeah. Did not get a score on Beer Advocate. It kind of, I'm looking at it, nothing. It's kind of sad.
Can't find anything about it.
Can't find anything about it. But Park City Brewer, obviously this one's out of Park City.
Maybe. I mean, Shades brews in Salt Lake County, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe it's from Park City.
This one says Park City.
Well, it's from the Park City Brewery, but I don't think it's like they brew in Park City. Yeah, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yep.
So Park City, the Sessions IPA. Pretty clear.
Yeah.
Stuff out there. Pretty sexy.
Pretty light. There's a little bit of haze to it, though. Not a lot, but a little
bit. Got juiciness on the nose.
Nice, like, straw color.
Not bad at all. On the nose.
That's fine.
Mm.
Let's try it, boys. Cheers.
Yeah. Mm. There's something weird on the nose there.
That?
So, Park City Brewer just got from my dear friend and our local brewmaster, Derek. He says that Uinta brews it now. So, thanks, Derek. Appreciate that.
We were going to try to not drink a Uinta beer today.
And then we did.
First beer we drink is a Uinta beer.
We failed. We failed miserably. But not bad. Oh, what do you think, Cody?
No, it's not bad.
Hmm. Not a whole lot. Like super simple.
Yeah.
It's a good Sessions.
I definitely wouldn't call it an IPA.
It's more juicy than anything. I feel like you get that tropical juice to it.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
It's sweeter than I thought. Sweeter for an IPA.
Yeah. Yeah, very very juicy and sweet, but not, I mean, I wouldn't even, like, maybe, like, juicy pale ale, but I feel like I've had pale ales that are a lot more bitter than this. Does it say what, like, the IBUs are? Have you found
that? No, I can't find it on the website. I can't find it on Beer Advocate.
If I had to guess, I would guess, like, what's Samuel Adams, 30? I would guess it's, like, 20.
I was going to say 28.
28?
I think it's more. I think the sweetness masks that bitterness.
I could maybe.
So
maybe around.
According to Derek, Shades used 30. To make it. Uinta now makes it because they're the contract brewer. Thanks, Derek. Love you.
Yeah. Is Derek watching right now?
Yep.
Oh my God, Derek.
Okay. So, before we break into questions, we are going to open Shades Brewing beer. So Wyatt, what do you have for us?
The Shades Brewing Grapefruit Revolution Hazy and Juicy India Pale Ale. This one's hazy and juicy. I wonder what makes, because like, to my knowledge, the biggest difference between a hazy and a juicy pale ale or IPA is juicy pale ales are the exact same shit, but without haze, right? Like, the flavor profile is pretty much the same. You're going to get basically the same nose. But the biggest difference is one's hazy and one's not, right?
Yeah.
This one's hazy and juicy.
All new to me.
Yeah, so this is shades. I mean, it is. It looks both juicy and hazy.
You know what surprised me is the, just like pouring it, the viscosity of it seems a little bit thicker. I wonder what like...
Like syrupy?
I wouldn't go as far as to say syrupy, but definitely like thicker than the last beer. And right. Thicker than your average beer.
Way more tropical on the nose. Like way more tropical. Yeah. It's inviting though. I want to drink this. Yeah. I'm ready to drink this.
Almost like a pineapple kind of thing there.
Definitely juicy. Wow. This is good. I like this one. It does not taste like a beer to me.
It has the texture of like pineapple juice.
Yeah. But it doesn't have that extreme tartness of a pineapple juice.
No.
That's weird.
This is good.
Not bad. Shades, yet again. God damn you.
There's not... It's like really like dry pineapple, grapefruit, but more like a grapefruit peel. Or like the rind.
Yeah.
Right? The part between the pulp.
Mm.
But like interesting like dryness to it. Like almost like a tannin kind of... Like it dries my tongue out a little bit. It's interesting. I wonder if there's actually grapefruit in this. I doubt it, but I wonder like what's adding the tannin, if it is tannin.
That's a great question.
Or even
to
like
ask.
Or even like it could be like a hop particle left over. Like have you ever like chewed on like a hop pellet? You're fucking disgusting.
Never.
Just disgusting. But you get that aroma from it.
But you get and it dries your mouth out a little bit. And like it's this really lasting bitterness. And this kind of has that similar lasting bitterness, but also like almost like a tannin.
Derek again comments.
Fucking Derek.
He goes, "You guys ever have the high chew candy? That's what the beer tastes like to me." Yep, Derek, spot on, brother. That's that the pineapple high chew, the mango one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Derek, you're listening.
Like sugar free.
Do you know happen to know what strain they use in this one? Has Shade's been using all Pediococcus, or they do lacto as well?
I don't think it's sour.
I think it's a little tart.
Really?
Ah. Mm-hmm.
I don't get any.
Do you get tart? Cotton?
Yeah. A little bit. Just, I mean, not sour, but tart. Yeah.
Yeah, tart. I'm curious. I mean, another question we can ask. So I pulled up the Shades Brewing.
Now it's recyclable.
That's right. That's
yeah. You can't recycle like this one if you throw that in the recycling because it has that paper on it. Yeah, they won't take it. But that. The Shades does a great job of making their labels that peel off, so they're very easily recyclable, which is fucking awesome, I think.
That's nice.
Right?
So again, guys, I know we're kind of going off subject here and there, but this one you can get at Smith's. You can also get this one at Harmon's. I grab these at Harmon's. You can make your own six-pack. They call it the Brewmaster's Choice.
Ooh.
See, so you get a little cute six-pack. Right here.
Oh, with fancy glasses on it.
Brewmaster's Choice.
That's Harmon's.
That's at Harmon's, yeah.
Look at that. So, they got style guidelines written on it.
Here we're going to stop and answer some questions that we have that I have received. First question, and I'm not joking, this one is a question. Why is David so good looking?
No. Ask the questions yourself, David.
Well, that's not true. I can. And I did. This one, to answer your question, why I'm so good looking, I don't know. My mom and dad I have damn good genes, and my nose isn't too big. And I have a gummy smile. Gummy smile?
That's pretty weird for you,
yeah,
huh?
But you guys have like the manly beard, like the rugged beards. Yeah. I'm kind of like a show pony. Okay, so we just have another question. What are your favorite beers at the moment come from the jalapeno herself?
Oh, no kidding.
So, what is your favorite beer at the moment, Wyatt?
Oh, man. That's tough. Maybe the Moose Drool. that we had
really?
That we had the other day. Yeah, the Moose Drool was so
I don't think
so
Cody
good.
Have you had the Moose Drool no. brown ale? We're gonna have
oh.
to have that.
Ooh, I love brown ales though.
Yeah. Yeah, the Moose Knuckle. I Moose Drool is top. Can I tell you something about so I took
no,
one of those,
you cannot tell us anything about Moose Knuckles.
I'm not talking about Moose Knuckles, I'm talking about that nut brown ale. Yeah. I took one of those nut browns home and I wanted to see if I could pair it with something because I remember when we were drinking it, I was like, this isn't very good by itself. I don't like it, but I think it would be great to pair with. And I paired it with some beef stew, some leftovers from, you know,
the Irish stew?
The Irish beef stew. Yeah. And it was the best fucking beer that I had with Irish beef stew. Of all the beers
we
that we
even
tried.
Said that it would pair well like that.
Yeah. And it did. It was fucking awesome. It was a good pairing. And I liked the beer a lot more because I had food with it. By itself, I wasn't a huge fan. But once I paired some food with it, I was like, this is fucking awesome. Drink this all day.
Cody, what is your favorite beer at the moment?
God, I haven't been drinking a lot of beer except for that St. Archer's.
So that's I showed Cody this gold. New St. Archer Gold. Yeah. New light beer. We've been drinking it like every night.
Damn.
Yeah. So I guess at the moment.
At the moment, St. Archer, that's my go-to at the moment. My favorite beer besides St. Archer, which is true, is I'm really hooked on the Yard Sale by Uinta. Why it got me hooked on that one. But I've been drinking a lot of
still
St. Archer.
Still drink a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Nice.
I got another question. This comes from our dear friend, Michael. He says, what's the most you ever dropped in a strip club?
No.
The answer to that is $100. Okay, next one. our friend Aaron, she messaged us and said, what does nitro do to beer? Does it actually change the flavor and or texture?
What a great question. Nitro beers, when they serve a beer on nitro tap or whatever, it's meant to imitate a cask or a firkin. So like beer initially wasn't like super carbonated, right? Because if you think about when beer, like we talked about in our beer history episode, beer's been being made for, you know, thousands of years, possibly, you know, like tens of thousands of years. And beer wasn't like, it wasn't carbonated for a really long time. And so they would like put the beer in a cask and you would have some residual sugar that the yeast would eat. And so it would carbonate it a little bit. But then let's say you take that cask to a bar and you put it up and let's say it's like 5 gallons, right? You tap the keg, the cask, and the beer starts to flow out. Well, right now in kegs, as the beer starts to flow out, we pump CO2 in there to like relieve the pressure, right? But that keeps the beer carbonated. As soon as you start to add oxygen to a beer, like if you ever like opened a, like had a party, the next day you go over and you're like looking at all the wounded soldiers left behind and you're like, oh man, I'm going to try one of these. Yeah. And then you drink one and it's like fucking flat and then nasty. It's because oxygen has had contact with that beer. If you would have left the beer in an unopened can and had it the next morning, it would have tasted fine. But as soon as oxygen starts to meet that beer, you start to lose carbonation and oxygenization happens, which like makes the beer taste cardboardy.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you like pour it down the sink, the smell of it is even worse.
Yeah, super bad. So nitro is basically to imitate that, but without letting oxygen ruin the beer. So like they would have like a stout, like a keg of stout or whatever, or, you know, English mild or English bitter, whatever it is. Usually like British style beers are served in nitro. They'll tap the keg and oxygen feeds in and the beer comes out. And so it's like a little bit oxygenated. It's a little bit more flat, and usually it kind of adds like a creaminess to it. So when we add nitro, you get like a creaminess, and it imitates that like almost flat, but without being oxygenated. So it's still like fresh beer, which is super cool. So you get all the perks of, you know, a traditional English style beer without the negative like oxygenization and cardboard flavor.
I like that.
That's beautiful.
Super fun.
According to Derek, local brewmaster, I'll chime in. Nitro is a smaller carbonation bubbles to make the beer seem creamy and somewhat flat.
There you go.
That's a short answer. I like that.
So that's the the
way better job than me, Derek. Fuck.
So Derek asks, well, instead of answering the questions and helping us out, he's asking, what is your favorite beer-infused cocktail? And out of the beers you've tried tonight, what spirits would work well with these IPAs and pale ales?
Ooh, good question.
It's a great question.
Does a beer and orange juice count? Because I like that.
Oh, beer Brass orgies? Monkey, baby.
What is that called?
Brass Monkey.
Yeah.
That funky monkey.
Yeah.
I thought I said beer and orgies. I'm like, oh, wow.
No.
I like that too.
I feel you. The Brass Monkey super solid. I like to add a little bit of orange brandy to it. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And actually, I think orange brandy with orange juice, and I like a hoppier beer with it instead of like your traditional, like, you know, whatever, Budweiser, Heineken brew, right? You drink it down to the label and then you add orange juice. That's how you do it with the 40, right? Old English, whatever. I like to use a hoppier beer. I'll add a little bit of orange brandy, like Grand Marnier or Grand Gala.
Grand Marnier.
Grand Marnier is fucking awesome for it. And orange juice, about the same ratio. Like, let's say you've got about 30 ounces of beer. I'll add like about 8 ounces of orange juice. And seriously, like 5 ounces of brandy goes a fucking long way in there.
So here's my pairing with it. I'll do IPAs. So I'll do an IPA, kind of like a tropical IPA with tilapia, with fish tacos.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll chase it with tequila. So tequila, tilapia, and then chase with the IPA. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So we have our friend old G-Cat, G-Cat311. What's up, Gray? He asks, what kind of beer do you recommend for the quarantine? And I'm going to give my answer. I recommend two. I recommend light lager. So I would drink a Corona Familiar, or I would drink a St. Archer Gold. That is a great light beer. And at night, Breckenridge Irish Stout. Right now, I love the Breckenridge Irish Stout. It's a good dry stout. Gave Cody one on the way here. I enjoyed that one.
Yes.
Pretty damn Breckenridge. Super good.
Yeah.
Feel free, brother.
Breck is solid. It's been rainy lately. I think that browns are the perfect thing. I think that a good hazy IPA is great. I think a Modelo Negra is always. Like one of my fucking
always
for sure. But something like, I would go like pale ale or a brown, something that's like not super, like a brown I feel like is very well balanced and fucking easy. A little bit more maltiness than, you know, your typical amber. That's a beer that, you know, I want to drink it like most of the year, except for maybe like July. But like, that's a good time, you know? It's a little bit cloudy outside. I feel like brown ales pair with cloudy weather.
Got another question. David, it's your brown brothers from my friend Johnny. He's listening. What's your favorite cocktail of all time, and what do you recommend? So, Cody, favorite cocktail of all time, or what cocktail do you recommend?
Can you come back to me? I need to think about this one.
I'm ready for this one. Okay. So, my favorite is a gin drink. It's called the Elder Gin. So, I like, it's got to be a botanical gin, because it brings out that just effervescent herbs in it.
Yeah.
And then you put grapefruit juice on it, fill up like Colin's glass, and then floater of Saint Germain.
I was gonna say something similar.
I love that shit. That shit's good. Because you can drink it. It's a good springtime beer, it's a good summer beer. You know what? If you drink it in the winter, it's like, hey, you know, I'll do it. So that's my favorite go to.
Yeah.
Besides that, I love mixed drinks with whiskeys. Like, I love a shandy. Cowboy shandies. There's a beer mimosa for you.
Whiskey sour. That's a good
whiskey sour
beer cocktail as well.
Whiskey smash. Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do.
I'd go.
Go for it.
Scotch neat.
We'll ask these two questions.
The best cocktail you can get.
Scotch neat.
Mix it with a couple drops of water, and you're going to be solid.
Okay, so there's
not
more
just
questions.
Any scotch, you got to go in Isla Scotch, or maybe Highland Park is fine.
Here's one for just you and I, Wyatt.
All right. Word.
My buddy Jackson Kofer, baseball pitcher, reaches out to us and asks. He's asking 5 questions. Well,
holy
first one is
shit, Jackson.
Does glassware matter when drinking a beer?
Oh my god, so much. Yeah.
So Jackson, the answer to that question is yes.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
It matters. It matters so much.
Why? I know you're passionate about this one. Why does glassware matter when it comes to drinking beer?
Glassware. I feel like glassware helps you get the most out of the beer that you're drinking. So, like if you think about, like, we'll go through the senses. Like, first of all, like, sight. Like, beer in a can, you can't see what color it is. And that's the first thing we do is, like, when we pour a beer, we look at it, right? So, we've got this one that's, like, a nice, like, goldish, kind of like straw color, right? A little bit more than straw. So, you want to be able to see the beer. Next thing we do is we smell it. So these glasses are fucking terrible for it, but you want something that has a round to it, similar to like a wine glass. Depends on the type of beer that you're drinking. There's like British pints and Irish pints, and you've got like Belgian, like,
and
snifter
chalices,
looking things,
yeah.
And chalices, and you know, Weissen glasses. So you want something with a little bit of curve to it. Actually, 1 second. I don't know if they can see. How well can they see this, right? So this little six-pack that David got has a great example of beers.
Looks pretty good.
On the front, right? So you've got, like, Irish pint. You've got your Pilsner glass. And then we've got, like, a chalice right there, almost like a tulip over here. What those do is they help to capture some of that aroma and, like, bring it forward to the nose. So you want to be able to smell because, like, you taste first with your eyes and then with your nose. And then, like, once you actually start getting into, like, drinking the beer, like, mouthfeel isn't going to be changed with a glass. The biggest part is you want to be able to see what you're drinking and you want to be able to get that aroma. Because, like, taste is 90% smell, too, right?
Yeah.
It's like the better you can smell it, the more you're going
to... You plug your nose, you're not going to be able to taste it.
Nope. Yeah.
You take out the olfactory senses, boom.
Yeah. I like to, when I drink a beer, I like to try to remove some sensory stimulation outside of, like, what I'm drinking as well. So, like, if I'm having a hard time picking out flavors, like, closing your eyes.
Close your eyes, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you mm-hmm. that's so much sensory stimulation that, like, close your eyes, boom. You don't have it anymore. And you can focus more on what you're tasting, which I think is huge. So...
So while we're tasting, we open a new one from Proper Brewing. Wyatt, what did you open us?
The Hospital IPA. It's a fucking cool can too. I would say this is the best looking like presentation that we've got yet.
All Proper's labels are simple, but they're beautiful. Just there's, simple does it.
Yeah, there's
it
an really elegance does. In simplicity for sure. Mm-hmm.
But this one is their Sessions IPA. I have not had it. Have you boys had it yet?
Of course not.
Because Cody and I, like I said, we don't drink IPA. We
such
just
a
don't.
Cool label.
But it's got a nice, beautiful yellowish. It's actually not beautiful. It's more urine-y kind of.
Yeah.
It's almost the color of like apple juice.
Yeah. Like, that's better. Apple juice. It makes me feel better. Yeah. But
I
apple
hope your
juice.
Urine doesn't look like that.
But cheers, boy. Sure. Hops off the nose for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It smells like it smells like a like your backyard in like the fall. You know when there's like leaves on the ground and like they kind of get a little bit wet and like there's like an interesting smell to that. Like that's what that smells like to me. Not even just like hops so much, more like backyard in the fall kind of smell. Like almost, I don't want to say musty because
it's not musty.
But there's something like almost like damp to it.
You're right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the Hospital IPA, it's got a hop bite to it.
Yeah, not a whole lot of body to it, but there's a little bit of hop bite to it, kind of to finish.
A little hop bite. It's not overwhelming at all.
Yeah. You don't taste a whole lot of the malt. Maybe a little bit of like
I get some malt
kind of flavors.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it's very end, you can kind of get that biscuit bread taste.
Yeah.
More bready, not biscuit, but that bread taste at the end. Yeah.
I want to know how old some of these are because I feel like all of these have had a similar kind of flavor to the hops that I feel like happens in
it goes back
like
to
degraded hops. Like
you got,
hops.
You know, you got to get beer at the breweries themselves if you want fresh cold beer.
Well, you can't do that right now
because I mean you still can, even though we're going through a little dry spell. Still support local breweries,
please.
It's a craft that should not be dying, and I know we'll all get through this and it'll pick up back where it's left off. But in the meantime, if you want. To enjoy good beer instead of going to the store and be lazy, make a trip out there, buy it from the source itself, and you'll get better beer. It'll be more fresh. It'll be more clean.
It's been taken care of the way that they want to take care of it, too.
Instead of being shipped out, probably staying in a warm van somewhere and then putting in a warm warehouse on the back of a Smith's or a Harmon's or a Walmart, just sitting there until it's finally put back on the shelves where it's now cooled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So... Everyone out there, support local breweries, especially right now.
I would also, I'm going to scratch from the earlier question of, what are the beers to drink during quarantine? I would probably stay away from IPAs. Because I was looking at this, and this was bottled on the 10th of February.
What are you saying?
Hops degrade very quickly. So like hops don't last very long in a beer, and they start to fade, and they leave like this weird like bitterness.
So don't be stocking up on IPAs.
Yeah, I wouldn't stock. Like, you ever, like,
I wouldn't.
Have you ever bitten the end of like a number two pencil? There's like a weird, like, woody kind of bitterness.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what hops taste like after after they've like started to grate, after like 6 weeks, you usually start to get these weird. And I think that's what I've been tasting with all of these, because there's been this weird note in the on the nose and this weird flavor, and I think that's like degraded hops. Buy from the fucking breweries if you're going to get an IPA.
Fair. Yeah. All right, Tass, another question.
Don't we have like four more questions from Jackson?
Yeah, so let's go for another one.
Hell yeah.
How do you get the most taste out of your beer? So, I mean, I think we just kind of answered that.
I feel like the glassware is a big first step.
Glassware is a great step, and going to the brewery itself.
Yeah. Drinking beer fresh, drinking it at the correct temperature. Lager's a little bit cooler, ale's a little bit warmer. If you drink beer too cold, you're not going to taste anything, you know? The cold will numb your taste buds.
Just like water.
Yeah. If you drink, it numbs your taste buds, and then you're not going to taste it. So, don't drink beer too cold, but like don't, you know, leave it like 90 degrees. Like, don't fucking put your beer in a microwave.
Handle your shit.
Yeah.
Goes back to that.
It's like not too far either direction, between like 40 and 50 degrees, like a solid. I usually go a little bit more towards room temperature, like 50 to 60 degrees. But
that's room temperature for you?
77 degrees.
Wow.
Actually.
It's room temperature.
That's warm.
Next question I have from Kofer says, what's the difference between a stout and a porter? Before this question gets answered, I am going to tell Jackson to listen to more of our podcast, because we've already answered that question in our Stouts and Porters episode.
Yeah, in the Stouts and Porters episode.
So I'm going to call Jackson out and say, Jackson, Kofer, listen to our podcast, goddammit.
Yeah, we've got like a solid 45 minutes of just information on Stouts and Porters.
That's true. And just so I'm going to brag a little bit, we have over 500 downloads of our podcast so far.
Holy shit.
We are the fastest growing podcast locally, and we're fucking gorgeous. Let's be real.
Cody, you've been a lifelong listener.
Yeah.
Long time caller.
Our podcast.
Long time caller, lifelong listener.
Yeah. Yeah. First time listener, lifelong caller, something like that. you watched our Stouts and Porters episode. I feel like this is a chance for us to see
what I remember.
How educational we actually were.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What do you think?
Well, from what I remember is there isn't really a difference. I think originally there was like in the alcohol content, but then there actually isn't a difference between
the
two.
Right on the head.
Yeah.
Well, that goes to show that we are educational.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
So, Cody, thank you for proving to us that that episode, then when we brought Bristol on, we kind of opened her palate and kind of, you know, we brought all these beers and like, hey, Bristol, you don't like beers. Let's see if we can. And Wyatt and I kind of were detectives in that, and that was great. But like, what from our St. Patty's Day episode, let's go back to you as a listener and you as a connoisseur. Mm-hmm. What did that episode teach you about beer?
Oh, well, God, it's a hard one.
We did get pretty shitty.
We got a little drunk. I mean, I think I may have learned more about whiskey that night than I did. But no.
Beer-wise, do you remember St. Patty's Day? Beer-wise, remember the stouts? I mean, we didn't go over the...
We had what the...
We just tasted. We didn't really...
The Guinness and...
Guinness Extra Stout, which Cody's had before. Yeah. And the last one we had was...
Fuck. We did end up having the Roja Brewing Midnight.
Afterwards.
That was after the fact. Did we have that on? We didn't have that on air,
No,
did
we had Guinness itself, Extra Stout.
I think we just did Guinness Extra Stout and Teeling.
Yeah.
I think those are the only things we tasted.
But with that whiskey, I mean, I learned a lot from that whiskey too. And the guy, the owner of Teeling Whiskey, reached out to us and liked our stuff. So that was pretty cool. That was really rad.
I feel like it's the journey of this podcast. Like we started it because we wanted to sit down and like learn some stuff about beer. Like we've been bartending at a brewery for a while. And we just like all the time, I just realized how much I don't know about beer. Like people ask me questions, I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck you're like. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even know what you're asking. And so we started because we wanted to learn more, and we wanted to help take people with us. So like if people ask me a question, I want you to understand the answer that I'm giving too. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes
it's cool that like people have, like at least one person has, you know, learned from us. And that was actually one of our goals before we even recorded an episode, was like, like, if one person learns something from this podcast, we'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
And fuck.
We've had dozens.
Fuck.
And it's been a blessing.
Yeah. Now I've had a moment to think about it. I think honestly what I learned is maybe just a little bit how to taste what I'm tasting, like convey what I'm tasting,
mm-hmm.
like listening to you guys talk about it and then tasting what you guys taste.
It's not for just me, beer.
Yeah,
and
it's not just beer. Like listening to you was like, oh yeah, I taste that. Oh yeah. And then like, and now, I mean, not so much of these IPAs because this is also.
But you can taste the IPAs.
But I can taste it. And again, yeah. I'm learning again, like what am I tasting in this IPA? And it's,
yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Honestly,
I'm
we're pretty inexperienced IPA drinkers as well.
Yeah. So. I want to be better at IPA because that's.
But I feel like we are. And I feel like I'm forcing you in a way to become a better IPA drinker. Like I was telling Wyatt, I'm not convinced to just jump on the IPA bandwagon. I'm just not there. But I'm starting to enjoy and appreciate IPAs.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think they're fun to taste because there's so much. With all beer and all styles, there's so much variety.
Right.
But IPAs are so unique. Like. Brown ales will have similar flavors to ambers, and mm-hmm. they're going to still be a little bit similar to like a porter or a stout. Granted, you can have more dark chocolate and coffee flavors and more bready and, you know, stuff like that. But IPAs, it's just a whole different ballpark of things to taste. Like, you can get really good at tasting, like, maltier beers. Like, you could start with, you know, ambers and dunkels and stouts and porters and move on up to, like, imperial stouts and fucking imperial porters, whatever, oatmeal stouts, all the different American browns and nut browns and British browns, all these different beers you can get really good at tasting. But if you never drink IPAs and you taste an IPA, you won't have any idea what the fuck you're drinking. And so it's cool to see like the extremes of both the maltier side of beers. But I think for us to be good beer tasters, we need to know like hoppier beers, what they're going to taste like. And once we nail malt and hops, I think it'll be interesting to move into beers where we can like isolate like, well, this beer had this kind of mineral content and this beer had this kind of mineral content. Yeah. And I think working with brewmasters is going to be super cool to kind of see some differences in what just mineral content can do to bring out flavors in hops and malt and stuff like that. And yeast, fuck.
Yeah, the different yeast strains. And it goes back to what Wyatt was saying just barely. You know, we did this and to be the middleman between brewmasters who have this vast knowledge and this kind of like overwhelming, like, fuck. And then the people who just drink beer to drink beer, like, I'm just drinking the shit just because it's beer. And, but, you know, the curiosity is just, why? Why are you drinking that beer? Why do you like that beer over that beer? Why do you like this beer over that? Why are you so hell-bent on this style and that style? And because forever I was like, stouts, porters, ambers. Lagers, that's it. Don't give me anything that has any bitterness to it. Don't give me any hops.
Right.
But now it's like, okay, I'm kind of like getting my feet wet with the hops. Like, oh, I can enjoy the hop now. I can understand it. I love dry hopped because it gives that aromatic, you know, effervescence at the end of it, but doesn't overwhelm me with bitterness. I love that.
Yeah.
It still gives you make it pretty almost.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to one of those first things you said in one of our very first episodes, as knowledge increases, behavior changes. So as we've been doing this podcast, we've learned more about hops and IPAs and just the process that goes into brewing beer and like Burtonization makes for better pale ales and IPAs. And starting to get into some of that, like I didn't like IPAs before. I wasn't a big fan of hops. As I learn more and now that I can like taste IPAs and pick out flavors and like start to notice like, oh, well, this type of hop does this and this type of hop does this, like I'm starting to enjoy IPA, and I never thought, I was like, okay, well, I want to learn how to break down IPAs. I'm not planning on enjoying IPAs, but now I'm starting to enjoy IPAs. Like before quarantine, I sat down and had some curry with a hazy IPA. And can I say one of my favorite things that Sean and Derek have done is they have a consistent beer with a consistent grain base, the Ape Hanger, and they often, they'll switch out the hops on every batch. So they've got like an Ape Hanger, Sabro, and Citra. So it's got Sabro and Citra hops. So you're going to get like pineapple and coconut flavors and just changing the hops with the exact same water content, the exact same grain base. Just changing out the hops changes the beer so much versus like the Cashmere Mandarina or I forget what they had in the Springville location, but it's crazy. Like it's a completely different beer with only the hops changing.
But
we've been learning that and dude.
That's the thing. It goes back to IPAs. I've been starting to build a foundation of IPAs specifically. And now what I want to do is slowly start pairing because I now know what certain hops do and I want to start pairing it with different foods, because once we get dabble more into pairing, it's just going to make that beer and that experience just pop.
Yeah. I'm excited to do that. What do we have more questions from Jackson?
Yeah, so let's why just open the Wasatch Brewery Island Hop. Is it a juicy IPA? Why?
Tropical. Ooh. IPA.
Hell yeah. So that's what we have here. One. It looks kind of like the pineapple juice, kind of like the shades a little bit.
Yeah. Definitely not the same thickness though. The viscosity is is a lot lower. 35 IBUs. I love when they give you information on the can.
Because you'd like to know what the hell you're putting in your body.
I do. Mango, citrus, papaya. That's what they're going for.
I'm going to try it.
Forget you guys.
Oh, mango.
This smells more fresh. I would say almost like a pear or like an apple on the nose.
It's got like a nice fruity sweetness at the end. Mm-hmm. It kind of hits you in the beginning with bitterness, and it's kind of, oh, wait a second. Then you hold on for that roller coaster, and it's like, all right. It finishes well. I like that. This would pair well with curry. Right here.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah, something spicy I'll be great with. I'm getting, again, a little bit of that, like, pencil lead kind of, I don't know, like, hop degradation.
Are you getting at the very end?
Yeah, very, very end. And it's just like a lingering flavor. It's not something that I get when I have the beer in my mouth. It's after it's gone.
I don't get it on this one, but I got it on the other one before.
I get it only a little bit. This one's the least so far, but it's interesting. I like it.
What do you think, Cody?
It's my favorite so far.
It's favorite easier one,
to drink.
Huh?
It's easier to drink for me.
You can put that back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more like sweetness to begin.
Yeah,
And like a crackery kind of thing.
It's nice. It's an easy like introduction into IPAs. I feel like for me,
I feel like this would be great with like a creamy soup, like a clam chowder or something.
Two more questions by Kofer. This one I really like. What is the science behind the perfect pour? I'm gonna ask you that one, Cody. I've seen you pour many beers. Doesn't matter. What is the science? Behind a perfect pour out of a can and or bottle.
I don't have a lot of science behind it, but I think I'm going to guess.
True.
And like, I don't think there's a wrong answer.
I think fast is the only wrong answer here.
Yeah, don't just dump it to the bottom of the glass, basically. Mm-hmm. The angle. You got to have the angle and then straighten it out at the top so you get some of that head.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Right?
Wyatt and I have learned over this whole course of our journey, right, our adventure, is some beers you're supposed to leave head.
Right.
And I didn't know. I thought all beers you fill to the fucking brim, right? And a lot of times you want to do that. A lot of times I'm sitting there trying to get the head away because I want people to have. But, more you know, beer. Stouts, I want a little head. A true Hef, three fingers ahead.
Three fingers, yeah. Any wheat beer should have at least three
fingers. Yeah, I can't do it with my left hand, but my right hand. Three fingers, that's a lot of head.
Yeah.
That's a lot of head.
They are also in those super, super tall.
But it's also glassware.
Yeah.
Different glassware.
Glassware is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Usually in a Weissen glass. Yeah, it definitely depends on the type of beer that you're pouring. Like if someone asks for a Bud Light, I'm filling that shit to the brim because they're not drinking because they want the aroma from the head. No, they're drinking because they're like.
True Hef, I want to be able to smell it. I want the little foam. I like on a Guinness, you got to have some head.
Yeah. And like, so if you're pouring, say like whatever, like anything from the tap regularly, right? Most beers you pour at an angle. If you're pouring a nitro, anything on nitro,
just dump it
straight in. You just pour it straight in. It's fucking crazy to me, but that's how you're supposed to pour nitro. And you're supposed to pour nitro. You pour, you fill about half of the glass and then you let it settle. And then you fill to about the 3/4 point and then you let it settle and then you pour the rest. So that was pretty interesting. There's a whole lot of information on that at Cicerone. You can follow him on Instagram. I'm pretty sure it's just at Cicerone or online. It's like Cicerone. They've got a lot of great information on glassware and how to pour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Last question by Kofer. I appreciate all the questions, Kofer. You're one of the few that actually commented on the story I posted. However, it said, what country do you believe has the best tasting and variety of beer? I would like to answer this one.
God, that's tough.
Hear me out, Wyatt. You can disagree with me because I haven't been there.
Wait, can I guess? Oh, no, never mind. You said I haven't been there.
I haven't been there. However, this
That's
is...
what I was going to say, too.
Touche, guys. But I think Belgium. I think Belgium or Germany would have the best tasting of beers. Scott talked about it nonstop when he was here. Sean talked about it nonstop when he was here. Not nonstop. I'm over-exaggerating. But they have certain styles, and there's some OG, you know, a lot of things came from Belgium. And so I want to go on a venture and say, me not traveling the world, and I can't travel the world for the next probably decade, but it won't be able to, you know, I think Belgium, from what I've heard in my research, Belgium, and like, it's like, for when you want to go wine tasting, where do you go? France, Portugal,
Italy,
California, east side of Washington. But you think France, right? France is one of the first ones. I think in my mind, beer world, Belgium.
My stepdad used to go to Germany a lot for work. And he was telling me like the other day that he was in Germany. And what are like some popular German beers? I can't remember the name of the style off the top of my head. Well, I mean, you've got like Pilsners and Dunkels and Hefeweizens. And there's another really popular German beer. And he said that in, now I can't remember the name of the town either. That one's yours. That one's his. There's some town that has like a really popular style, and it's super popular in the United States, this style of beer. And I feel like all the people who come in, it's not Pilsner. Fuck.
Wait, what are you talking about? Sorry, I wasn't listening to the whole thing.
You bastard. My stepdad said that when he went to Germany, every town has like their beers, right? Like Munich has a Dunkel, and there's like Pilsners that are from certain places. But there's like some, you've
Bach,
got like the damp
Kolsch.
Beer. Kolsch. It's fucking Kolsch.
Yeah, we had a Kolsch style. Hmm?
Yeah. He said, he said that Kolsch was popular in like whatever one town that he went to. And everyone's like, oh, Kolsch is the shit. And then he went to Munich and got like a Helles or something like that. And they were talking mad shit. They're like, Kolsch is for sissies and people from this town, which I thought was pretty funny.
Of course.
Yeah. They're all like they're very competitive. Like if you're from this part, you only drink damp beer. And if you're from this part, you only drink Pilsner. If you're from this part, you only drink Dunkel. It's pretty interesting. Like all the towns are competitive with their style of beer they think is the best.
That's funny.
Germany would be interesting. I'd love to go to Germany just so I could fucking ride on the Autobahn. Just go a million miles an hour.
That's also true. So last beer before we close, Squatters Juicy IPA.
Yeah, this is my favorite by far.
You've had this one? I have not had this one
Citrus,
since
melon,
since dink. They revamped it. I haven't had it since they revamped it.
It smells good.
It's got a definite hoppiness to it. Right?
Yeah. A lot of hop aroma, but not a whole lot of hop bitterness to it, which I think is nice. You do definitely get some dank flavors. A lot of citrus and melon. And they say stone fruit, but I'm not getting a whole lot of stone fruit.
I get stone fruit.
Like
stone
apricot fruit? Or like avocado? What kind of stone fruit are you talking about?
Is that a stone fruit?
I think so.
I have no
There's
idea.
There's a fucking stone in it, right?
It's got an apricot-y taste to it.
Yeah. There's something almost like, it's like juicy. I almost said tart. It's not tart, but it's like,
it's juicy.
More juicy.
But you got plum,
like
cherries,
That's
peach,
nice.
Nectarine, apricots. I get apricot in this one.
Yeah. I don't get a whole lot. I guess a little bit of apricot, but I don't know. A lot of citrus. It's really nice. This is my favorite one that we've
this
had by far.
Probably my favorite one.
I think I agree.
Fuck yeah, Squatters for the win.
Squatters. So back to Derek's comment. I think Squatters IPA, Juicy IPA, is our favorite beer. I think we're all agreeing this is the favorite beer.
Yeah.
Cody, what would you pair with this beer?
Consider I don't really drink IPAs.
Yeah. But you're getting a little tart, a little bit of tart, more stone fruit to it. It's got that juicy IPA. What do you think about pairing with it?
You know? I could probably eat probably some fish tacos with this, honestly.
Yeah.
I think fish tacos would be good. A little bit of hot sauce on it.
Yeah. I'd go fried fish tacos.
Yeah.
And I'm usually a grilled fish kind of taco, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is fried fish tacos for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, after like fried fish tacos in the evening, like as the sun is going down, but it's got to be like a sunny day as well. You know, like coming inside, maybe like sitting on the patio.
I like set. When
you gotta have the whole scene. Yeah,
my favorite thing about Wyatt is he paints a picture for you, yeah. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah.
Well, like, okay, this is what I'm picturing right now is like my grandma's house, and there's like a few pine trees, and like there's like this dankness to it that makes me think so. And they've got like a patio right beneath the pine tree, and so like as the sun sets. It's covered up by this fence, and so, like, I know the sun's not going to ruin my beer. I could have some fried fish tacos. I've got the pine tree right there. It's a little bit chilly, but it's not cold. Like a spring, like a sunny springtime. It's a perfect April beer. That's what this is. This is a fucking April beer. It's even fucking April purple showers, or lilac. Or
you're right. I love the picture of the hops. Squatters does a good job putting the picture of the hop on all their beers. Yeah.
I liked my favorite is still the Hospital IPA for, like, look. And it's got a hop with the cross.
Yeah, there's simplicity. Yeah. Proper does it. Proper Brewing, if you're listening.
Fucking tulips.
It's about time.
Is that Swiss? Or what is that on there? It's like a Swiss flag.
Yeah, it's the hospital, like the cross.
Oh, is that all it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like a tulip beer. I'd take this to the tulip festival. And walk around with this.
But
feed some ducks.
So on that note, Cody, thanks again for joining us. No, it's last minute. I appreciate you coming in. You're more than welcome to join us anytime. You have an open visit anytime. I hope we opened your eyes, our palate on the IPAs. What do you think? Cody, can't wait to see you on the next one. But till the next beverage, bro.
That was fun.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Like us, follow us, share us, tell your friends. Next time you have a drink, tell us about it. Drink it, you know, let us know what it tastes like. Tell us if we should try something new. You can find us at tastemastersdrink.com. You can also find us on Instagram at @_tastemasters or on Facebook. We are The Tastemasters. Thanks for listening again.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_audio.